and now evangelist David Shannon.
Well, open your Bibles to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Genesis, the 12th chapter. Have you ever looked in the life of someone and they seem so perfect? We know no one is really perfect. Christ is the only one that was perfect. But yet we look in their life and we say, that amount of faithfulness I could never obtain. Or perhaps we look in the Word of God and we say, now there's a character that his faithfulness or her faithfulness is so great that I would just pale in comparison. I dare say that if I mentioned the name Abraham to you, that would be one of those names that you would probably look upon and you would say, I can never be one like Abraham. Now, I don't want to take anything away from Abraham this morning. Abraham was a great man, and Abraham was the father of the faithful. He was the father of the chosen generation. Through Abraham came much of the work of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Abraham is due so much credit. And as a matter of fact, as we go and we read Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and the great hall of faith, we see that Abraham is mentioned there, and probably more verses are given to him in that chapter than any other character in the hall of faith. But this morning, I do want us to see that Abraham was not perfect. Abraham had his faults. The reality is, Abraham came back to his God. Now, what is he remembered for? He is remembered for his faithfulness. That's going to be the plea of the entire lesson this morning. I hope we gather many things from it, but when all is said and done, I hope every one of us realize that everyone that's ever lived except Jesus Christ has had mistakes. But the ones on Judgment Day that will stand prepared are the ones that will be remembered for their faithfulness, meaning that they didn't let their mistakes keep them down, but they came back to their God and served faithfully. Let's read the story that we refer to in Genesis, the 12th chapter of Abraham and being chosen. Verse 1, it says, Now the Lord has said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that curse thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Now we look at this story and we say that is a powerful exemplification of faith. Let's look a little deeper into this story. And as I say, in these this morning, I don't want to take anything away from Abraham. It was powerful. A man that would rise up and leave his country. It's our human nature to like home. We often say there's no place like home. And then for someone to say, leave your home, leave your country, leave your family, leave all behind and go to a land that I'll show you. That does take a great amount of faith. But brethren, have you ever noticed as you study the Word of God, Abraham had to be called twice? Do you know that? Look back with me, if you will, in Acts, the 7th chapter, and we'll see the first time God called Abraham, he wasn't very successful in his journey. As we read in Acts, the 7th chapter, this is the story of Stephen. Stephen is about to go through his defense. Stephen is about to speak to those that had been known throughout their heritage of being abusers and persecutors of those that loved God. And so throughout his defense here, he reminds them, you have killed, talking about their fathers, your fathers have killed the prophets. And he says, now you're killing individuals that speak for God. And they do just that. At the end of his defense, they take him out of the city and they stone him to death. But notice how he begins the defense. We're in Acts, the 7th chapter and verse 1. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan. He said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. You see, it clearly states, as we go back and we read, now back to Genesis, the 11th chapter, we read the last two verses and we put all this story together. In Genesis, the 11th chapter, and we read verse 31, and Terah, now Terah was the father of Abraham, took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan, and they came into Haran and dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, let's take these three passages and let's put them all together. God came to Abraham the first time and he said, I want you to go from Ur to a land that I'll show you. And we know from the story that the land he was going to show him was Canaan. Now he told him to leave behind his father and his household, but he took his father along with him. When we go and we read in Joshua the 24th chapter, he clearly states, Joshua says of Terah, Abraham's father, that he was a worshiper of other gods. Perhaps that's why God wanted him to leave his father behind. His father was an idolatrous man, a worshiper of idols. And so as he left Ur with his father on the way to Canaan, we don't know for sure the reason why, but we do know most definitely that he stopped at Haran. He didn't make it to Canaan. Now how long did he stop in Haran? He stopped in Haran, the Bible says, long enough to live, to dwell there until the death of his father. Now what happens at the death of his father? The death of his father is in verse 32, and Genesis 12 in verse 1 begins with the word now. Why now? Meaning after the death of his father, now the Lord says unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. He calls him the first time from point A, Ur, to point B, Canaan. But he takes his father along and for some reason they stop in Haran. His father dies. Now God comes back to him again and says, now let's go ahead and make our way on to Canaan. As we go back and we look at the history of Ur and the history of Haran, and this is just looking at history, but it's making an assumption, there are two things that are of a significance and similarity of these two places. Both of these places were known for their worship of the moon deity. And so therefore, perhaps it was that Terah did not want to leave that culture, that civilization. And so as he traveled on to Canaan, perhaps this was another place on the way that he realized that this would be a good place to settle because I could still live out my idolatrous worship as I had in the old homeland. Now, we don't know for sure why, but we do know they stopped. Please notice this, fathers. How oftentimes does it take the death of a father for a family to go on to the ways of righteousness? Let me ask that again. How oftentimes does it take the death of a father for a family to go on to the ways of righteousness? Such a shame. Abram's father had to die before he would go on and follow the command that the Lord had given him. I just wonder across America today, and if it could be revealed to us, I dare say that every one of us would gasp. If we just knew how many fathers were misleading their children. If God could just some way show us in just a flash of a moment of every child that was being misled because a father was not being the father that he should be. Can you imagine how different the buildings would look on Sunday morning if every father was doing what fathers ought to do? Can you imagine what the school system would be like if every father was doing what fathers should do? Can you imagine what the communities would be like? And can you imagine what the streets would be like in daytime and at nighttime if fathers were doing what fathers should do? So oftentimes we speak of the youth and how tragic it is in our society the way they become, but brethren, we must realize that every child that's born has a mother and a father somewhere. We must blame some irresponsibility somewhere upon us as parents. Here, let it stand out loud and clear in our minds that a tragic mistake had happened. Number one, God called Abram. But for some reason, we don't know why, but he wasn't able to go against his father. He wasn't able to make it in the land of Canaan. Now notice this. You and I might have ambitions and expectations to make it to the land of Canaan. We may want to make it to heaven. But brethren, if we're going to travel that path, we've got to travel it the way God said to travel it. He told Abram, I want you to go to this land and I want to show you this land and I want you to do it the way I say to do it. And the way I say to do it is to leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your father's household behind. But he didn't do that. He took his kindred along with him. So along the way, he never made it to the destination. Today, a powerful lesson for us as we look to the mistakes perhaps we make. Could it be that we're striving for the destination, but we're not willing to travel the way that God says to travel? That's mistake number one we see in Abram's life here. Now as we travel on down into this story in Genesis the 12th chapter, we see another mistake that he makes. Let's go down to Genesis the 12th chapter and verse 10 at this point. Between verses 6 and 10 that we haven't read are where Abram, his father, dies. And so after that point, God calls him on and he does make it into the land of Canaan. Now in verse 10, he arrives into Canaan and there was a famine in the land and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he came near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me. For thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Brethren, he finally made it into Canaan. He took his father dying, but he finally made it. And when he gets into Canaan, he moves from point A to point B to point C. And we're not definitely sure why he made those moves. But as he worked his way southward into Canaan, he met up with the famine. And the famine was so severe that he looked for a way to supply his own needs. And so as he looked at the severe famine, his thought was, I'm going to sojourn. You see there in your Bible in verse 10, I'm going to sojourn down into Egypt. Now there's two powerful lessons for us in this. He finally made it to the land of Canaan, and he leaves for Egypt. Why? Things were severe. Brethren, I want to ask you this morning, and please be honest with yourself, how severe do things have to get in your life before you leave Canaan? How severe do things have to be in the church before you leave Christ? How severe do things have to be in your home before you leave Christ? How severe do things have to be at your workplace before you leave Christ? How severe does the confusion in your personal life have to be before you leave Christ? And you say, I don't understand the question, or I don't see why it's important. Brethren, it's very important. If you have in your mind a point of severity and you say, if anything ever gets to this point, I always give up, I always throw in the towel, I always leave Christ, you better rest assured that Satan's always going to bring you to that point of severity. Listen, Abram decided he was going to take care of himself. Satan threw in a famine. He decided I'll rely upon self instead of rely upon God. And finally God had brought him to the land of Canaan and he leaves it. I just wonder what if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have said, we'll do anything for the Lord except walk into a fiery furnace. What if Daniel would have said, I'd do anything for the Lord except go into a lion's den. I didn't think of the severity. But think of their faithfulness. Because they didn't have a limit. They didn't have a point where they said, well, now when it gets this bad, I always give up. Think of John the Baptist, thrown into prison and beheaded. But he always stood and spoke what was right, even when those around didn't appreciate it. Think of Paul. You could see the marks, I'm sure, of the whippings with rods and whippings with the whip. He was stoned. He was in shipwreck. He had the cares of the churches. The last picture we have of Paul is a very old man sitting in a cell, and he was worried about winter coming on because he was cold, and he asked, "Please just bring me a coat, and I'm lonely. Come and visit me." But brethren, he never gave up. We could ask Paul, "How severe does it have to get, Paul?" And he'd say, "Oh, it doesn't matter. I'd never give in." Now, brethren, I know none of us are perfect. But this day, if you and I cannot say that my commitment to God is to give everything, that I can't think of a severity that would be great enough to cause me to lose the Lord, if we can't say that, we should be working toward that. Because if we have any mark where we say, "This is where I'll leave," Satan will work us to that point. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of righteousness." That's what John said in Revelation. Paul said in Corinthians, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Brethren, no severity should move us. "Grow not weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap, if ye faint not." Notice also the second thing that we can learn from this, and both of these seem to just fit together so well. And that is the fact of not only was it severe, but Paul said, Abram said, "I'm just going to go down there for a sojourn." Literally translated, "I'm going to go down there for a little while." Abram had no intentions of ever leaving Canaan on a permanent basis. It doesn't say that Abram moved or Abram went forth. It simply says Abram sojourned. "I'm only going to go down there until I can get some food, until things get better in Canaan. And then when things get better, I'm going to come back." Brethren, how oftentimes do we in the church decide that we're going to go on just a sojourn? We're not going to quit Christ or the church. We're just going to go on a sojourn. Brethren, how many people that call themselves members of the Church of Christ every year go on a sojourn? And they call it a vacation. And it just doesn't seem room in that vacation to pack God. And you could ask them, "Isn't it wrong?" And they say, "Well, yes, it's wrong, but we're not leaving Christ. When we get back, we're going to be exactly what we should be." And while they're away, they'll forsake the assemblies. While they're away, they'll wear things that they would never wear at home. While they're away, they participate in things they never participate at home. You see, in their mind, they're just taking a sojourn. "I'm not leaving Christ. I'm just going to go out for a little while. Then I'll return." Listen, brethren. With Christ, we're either for Him or we're against Him. We're with Him or we're not. And there's no such thing as planning a little trip away and just come back in the presence of others and sins being forgiven. That's not a part of His plan. That's mind. Mind over truth. That's man planning their own life the way they want it to be planned. I plead with you this day, if there's that special weekend every year, or if just so happens there might be a year where Christmas Day falls on a Sunday, and you're tempted that maybe that day you'll take just a little sojourn from what's right, don't do it. It's wrong. It's sin. Stay with God. When you make it into Canaan, don't leave it for Egypt. God's people left Canaan and they stayed in Egypt for hundreds of years beyond what they wanted to. And then when they finally left, they wandered around in the wilderness for years and years. And finally, after so much heartache and turmoil, they finally made it back to Canaan. Brethren, don't say to yourself, "Just for a little while I'll leave what's right." Because Satan has a way of snatching you. And Satan has a way of making things snowball. And when we say we're going to leave for just a little while, oftentimes we find ourselves in problems years and years to come just from that one little decision to leave for a little while. Now, Let's notice this third thing under this same point here. What seems to always go hand in hand with a little sojourn from the truth is a lie. You realize that whenever he decided he was going to leave where God told him to go, and he was going to go on his little sojourn down to Egypt, he couldn't even make it down to Egypt without he and his wife planning a little lie. Because you see, the world was so wicked at that time. You remember how last week when we looked at the Tower of Babel in the 11th chapter, we talked about how wicked the world had become. The world was so wicked at this time, Abraham was not dreaming things up. What he had in his mind was a reality. He said, listen, Sarah, you're so beautiful that when I get down there and the Pharaoh looks upon your beauty... You see, lust was driving that nation. Lust was driving that Pharaoh. And he says, when he looks upon you, he'll take my life as your husband and he'll let you live with him. Abraham says, I have a solution. We are half brother and sister anyway. Let's just tell them you're my sister. Don't tell them that you're my wife. And so they plan out their little lie. And as they go down there, they tell their lie. God strikes Pharaoh's household with disease. And finally, Abraham is called before them. Now, brethren, please paint this picture in your mind. The one that we look to today and we say the father of the chosen, a pagan Pharaoh, stands before him and rebukes him for his wrong and tells him to leave his house and to leave his country. Do you know what Abram's defense is? There's nothing to say when you're wrong, is it? A pagan corrects the man that's the father of the chosen. He packs his bag. He takes his wife. And he does exactly what the pagan says to do. He goes back to Canaan. It took a pagan to tell him what to do in righteousness. Brethren, let us realize that any time we choose to leave what God has said to do, and we choose to take our little short sojourns because of the severity of things around us, we're going to be filled with lies, and we're always going to have a lie to say why we're even on that journey to begin with. And the most embarrassing thing is we won't really have any kind of defense whatsoever. So we'll know in our heart that we're wrong. Now, let's notice the third mistake that Abram made, and we'll have to do so very quickly. The third mistake that Abram made, as we go in Genesis, the 13th chapter, we see in verse 5, and the lots also which went with Abram, and the flocks and the herds and the tents. And as we read on, there flocks grew so much and they were in the land also, not just with them, but also the Canaanites and the Perizzites. So because of the groups of people that surrounded them and because their herds had multiplied so much and there was a strife between the herdsmen, Abraham said, Lot, I only know one thing for us to do. I don't want us to fight each other. Let's just divide. Lot looks around and he chooses the valleys, the green, the rivers. It's all towards the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, I want you to notice with me if you will, after they divide, notice what verse 14 says. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from this place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. And he tells him that he's going to choose this land and it'll be his land and for his seed. Brethren, please notice this. God told Abram to leave his father's household when he was way back in Ur. He's brought along his father's grandson all the way to Haran, all the way through as they mingled down into Canaan. He took his father's grandson all the way down to Egypt during the famine. And now he's brought him back up to Canaan again. And now finally, Abram says, Lot, we need to separate. And when they separate, it's then that God says to him, now you've done it. Now you've done what I've said to do. Now look around at your land. When you and I go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I just want to read you this verse. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now you remember the story we just studied this morning. And you listen to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. Now you and I read that story. We say, Abraham, you're amazing. You're such a faithful man. Brethren, from the first time he was called to the point he finally got it right was probably more than 15 years. And he made three tragic mistakes. He took his father along. When he finally got there, he left and he lied. And then when he finally got back, he was still taking his kindred with him. And finally, he separated from him. And God says, now you can have the land. This morning, brethren, in America, we say strike three and you're out. Here, as we read in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, God said in a roundabout way to Abram, you messed up the first time. You messed up the second time. You messed up the third time. And he says, but Abram, finally you got it right the fourth time, and I'm going to remember you for your faithfulness. This morning, brethren, you may look in your life and you may say, I've messed up. I'm telling you from the Word of God, you can make it right. You may say, no, David, I've messed up time and time again. You can make it right. What God is going to remember on Judgment Day and what God is going to remember as you and I have breathed our last breath is how we lived in the end. Did we come back or did we stay away down in Egypt? Abram made his mistakes, but he made it back to Canaan and he did what God said. Today, for your sake, come back to God if you're not with Him. For your family's sake, come back to God if you're not with Him. And for the church's sake, come back to God if you're not with Him. This morning, if you never obeyed God's plan of salvation, of hearing, believing, repenting and confessing and being baptized for the remission of sins, come back as God says to come. If you've done that, but yet somewhere you've fallen away, I plead with you this morning. Be one that is faithful. You can be a faithful person like Abraham. It's coming back when you stray. If we can help you in any way, come as we stand, as we sing.